They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to a very weird episode of Hysteria 51. And I say weird because it's weird on a few different levels. Number one, as you know, David is still gallivanting across. I don't know if gallivanting is the right word, but I like to think he's gallivanting and skipping his way across Europe right now. So that's still going on. Lisa is out and the bots are out. They're at their court mandated visitations for John. Not that, as you know, John didn't fight for visitation. We fought for trying to get the other one to have custody, and we both lost, so we have to share custody. So anyway, it's just me by my lonesome, and I knew that wouldn't do, so I had to call in a ringer this week. I got Jay from Project Skeptic sitting across the virtual desk from me. The virtual desk is, the internet of, and the freezing virtual desk, because right before we started, Jay, you told me you're freezing your balls off.
Yeah, this week has been brutal for central Pennsylvania, and it looks like there's no relief in sight either. Looks like we're going to be in the teens for Christmas as the high.
Yeah, that's the world. There's going to be 0 degree temperatures, they said, in Orlando.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Because they always put out the iguana drop warning when it gets so cold.
You're here to drop bears, drop iguanas. Man, I tell you, that's cold for an area I was seeing that the in case you're on the citrus cavalcade, the hurricanes and crap have destroyed the citrus crop. Now this is going to kill the rest of it. So no Sonny D, no OJ. I'm telling you, a big flu is just coming for us. They're taking out our access to vitamin C. Next, they're going to take out our infrastructure. Texas is going to be cold. You know the power grid's going down there. It's bedlam, man. It's bedlam. I tell you, it's where's Al Gore when we need him. So what's been up in other than Pennsylvania temperatures, which are down?
Nothing. We're just over here getting ready for Christmas. We did our Martians and Murders Christmas special a couple weeks ago, so that was super fun.
Not to be confused with Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, one of the greatest things ever put to cinema. And if you ever want to watch it, make sure you watch the Mystery Science Theater 3000 version, or you'll really hate yourself. But yeah.
We've been busy, just getting ready for the season, and I get some days off work, so that's going to be absolutely awesome.
Well, talking about getting ready for the season, you are the co-host of Project Skeptic. Tell everyone about Project Skeptic. What's the elevator pitch? What's it about? Why do you put that upon mankind? Give them the info.
We're bi-weekly. I do a little segment about Pennsylvania every week, and then we have our main episodes where I try to convince my co-hosts that I'm not crazy, but it usually turns out that the focus is on me just being absolutely crazy. So yeah, it's a good time. We do two episodes a week, and it's in the same vein.
Well, you said bi-weekly, and that's one of those words I hate, because bi-weekly can either mean twice a week or every 2 weeks. You know, it's one of those choose your own adventure words. So, I knew you guys do two a week, but we need another word. Bi-monthly, twice monthly. No, because it it's getting angry. No,
it doesn't work either way.
You said you're in the same vein. So it is in the same vein as Hysteria 51, very similar. Tell about the show. How long you been doing it? What made you guys want to do it? And what are some of your favorite topics you've guys done so far?
Yeah, we've been just a hair over a year now that we've been, you know, making this train wreck of a podcast. But yeah, we've done some crazy topics, and we mix a little true crime into the conspiracy, into the alien thing. So we're kind of all over the place with some stuff. But yeah, Lake City Quiet Pills and the Marvin Heemeyer killdozer thing were probably two of my favorite to just dive into.
You know, we haven't done Killdozer on here, and it was, we go through these spurts where people ask for it. It must come up in the news quite a bit. And I did a ton of research on it, a ton. We even did a couple, you know, reached out to people close to the story. Both sides of that story are fucking crazy.
Like
the town was in the wrong and he was in the wrong. And it's just like, wow. Like everyone that was attached to that, I'm just like, ugh. You know what I mean? Man.
Yeah, nobody won. You know, there wasn't a happy ending to, or a choose of a better word, sorry, but there wasn't a bright ending at the end of that story. So it was kind of like, yeah, you know, like, okay, we're done. Like everybody kind of lost.
As you've looked at all these different topics, was there anything after you started, you're like, or well, I'll say before you started, you're like, I don't believe that. And now that you've researched it, you're like, wow, I'm really kind of on that side, or vice versa. Something you're like, I believe in X, Y, Z. And now that you're researching, I'm like, well, I was an idiot.
Yeah. There's a lot of cases, I guess. There's some true crime stuff out there that you're like, man, that guy was completely guilty. You know, that from everything that you've heard your whole life, and you're like, that guy's completely guilty. There's nothing. And then you look into it and you're like, ooh, I don't know if he did it or not. You know, there's a couple cases we've run over that those ones, when I really dive into them, they kind of, I get wishy-washy on the actual like happenings of them too.
It's kind of like me with JFK. I went into that not really knowing much, and I came out knowing even less, you know, as far as what I believed or what I thought, or, you know, and some people go like, you're an idiot if you think there's a conspiracy. And I kind of think that you're an idiot if you don't, or if you're at least not willing to say that the government would do nefarious deeds, because that's kind of what they're up to. So I don't know. I know John, that was his big one. He'd always like bring that up. It's like, that's the one that broke me. You know, it was kind of early, but you know, as far as the, I don't believe anything. And then he got into that. I don't want to say that when I started, I was a believer, but I was a little bit less skeptical, and he was way skeptical. And by the time when he had left the show, we were almost like 50-50. We'd met in the middle somehow, which is probably good, you know, as far as that goes, as far as, you know, looking on either side of it. But yeah.
Find that JFK
go ahead. Sorry.
JFK was one of our biggest like arguments in the studio. I mean, the episode went like 2 hours, and there was four of us in here, and it was just, you know, everybody's opinion on it was trying to force it onto somebody else the whole time. It was,
yeah. And here's your new opinion. Yeah. Would you guys, do you guys usually see eye to eye, do you find, or you're on different sides of the coin each time on topics?
Yeah, it depends on who I have up here with me. Rob is usually my my normal co-host, and he kind of leans either way with it, or he'll look into it himself and be like, "Well, I have these, you know, facts about it," and that's good. But when I have my my friend the Bambino in the studio, he is really like to the point by the book type of person, so he actually wants to know why and how and everything like that. So it all depends on who I have with me, I guess, that week.
Right. Well, I think that's pretty good. And you get every side of it. That's what we try to do here. That's why we have so many even recurring people on here. You know, you like to get other people's sides of things other than just ours, because otherwise it's just you're beating your head in a wall, or you're in an echo chamber. No one wants that. Well, actually, I'm going to go out on a limb and say a lot of people do want that, and that's what's sad, you know, from life experience and having ever been on social media. But regardless, I told you this was going to be a weird episode. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've each got a couple weird news stories that we're going to give you guys. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
Welcome back. And hopefully you guys got your, well, probably you just hit the fast forward button a couple times. Let's be honest here. But welcome back to the show. We're talking weird stories, and I'll kick this one off because this one was an interesting one. Sent in to us by an anonymous source. So I don't know who it was. I don't know. Can't give you your due diligence, your 15 minutes of shame. I don't know what you want to call it. But mystery of Kung Fu icon Bruce Lee's death may finally be solved. Researchers propound new theory of what really killed the Kung Fu star. Now, this has been one of those things that it's been all over the place. This comes from the Daily Wire. This was November 21st of this year, so it's not very old. It says, although Kung Fu legend Bruce Lee's death at the age of 32 and 73 was blamed on swelling of his brain from painkillers, many theories were propounded that this actual cause of death remained a mystery, including theories that he was murdered by gangsters, died a heat stroke, yada, yada, yada. Now a team of scientific researchers, having examined publicly available evidence, have reached a new and startling conclusion of what actually killed the martial arts superstar whose popular motto, "Be water, my friend," was too much water. They say that he, based on this analysis of public available information, cause of death was cerebral edema. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying that. Edema due to hyponatremia, the term which they write. In other words, his kidneys couldn't get through or process the excess water because he was drinking gallons and gallons of water every day because he thought it was good for him. And he died of too much water, they say. So there's Matthew Polly, who wrote in Bruce Lee Alive, claimed he used marijuana heavily and drank copious amounts of water the day he died. Did you know that he was into like tons of water like that? Had you heard that?
I didn't know the marijuana thing.
Well, he was on marijuana and painkillers like crazy.
Oh.
Like he was self-medicating like a madman.
Okay.
Yeah. So it says, It says his kidneys were unable to process it for a number of reasons, prescription drugs, alcohol, chronic low sodium intake, past surgery, acute kidney injury. They all could have been parts of it. Now it probably wasn't alcohol with him. He just had so much water, you know, and he did have the painkillers, but they didn't think that that did it. And it causes brain to swell. Now this is a likely thing. He also had his auxiliary sweat glands removed. Under his arms and stuff, which can help with heat stroke and also not getting water out of your system. It's crazy. You know, it's one of those things that he's trying to be healthy, and it could have caused his death. I remember there's a story a few years ago about they were having a radio station who could drink the most water to get like a PlayStation or something like that. And they were joking, you know, you can like get water intoxication and die. And the woman who won it died, and they got their asses sued. Had you heard, have you ever heard of that stuff?
I know that what's the rule of thumb, half your body weight in ounces a day, right? So I think,
I've never even heard that before. Wow. Okay. That's a ton. That is it. Wow. I've always heard like eight ounce glasses a day or something like that, but 100 ounces a day, that's quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? 120 or 100 and something like that ounces is a gallon. So if you're drinking a gallon of water a day, which I used to, that would be like my fasting type of thing during Lent or whatever. So drinking a gallon of water a day is cumbersome. So I mean, to drink more than that would be insane. That would be an insane amount of water. Like, and I'm sure
it's like a job just drinking.
Yeah. That would be so much water. And to have that much water in your system, you're going to have issues as much as water wants to be, you know, the beverage that you're supposed to be drinking. It does have some very harmful side effects.
No matter what you're drinking, don't drink gallons of it a day. Unless you're sweating out gallons of it a day. You know, there's those people that are working out inside and they're like, they lose 10 pounds a day in water weight. That's a different story, you know, but even then you can, you know, too much of a good thing is too much.
Yeah, because even the water weight, you know, if you're taking on gallons of water, I don't know what it is. To 10 pounds of water is a gallon or something like that. But yeah, that's a lot of water.
Yeah. This guy was so into health that maybe it cost him his life. Crazy to think about. I don't know. This is all speculation using data, but it covers the bases more than I guess what was originally thought was the issue. What's your first story? What you bringing to us?
Okay, so I have this story out of Live Science. I love Live Science. Mm-hmm. Their website's always so good. But mermaid sighting claimed in Israel. Mm. So locals and tourists in Israel, town of Kiryat Yam, they have been flocking to the coast in hopes of glimpsing a mermaid. So and maybe some people believe in these creatures or whatever. And a ledge mermaid said to resemble a cross between a fish and a young girl only appears at sunset. Mm. Perform.
I can show you my locks. not locks as in locks and cream cheese. Sorry. Even keep going.
this mermaid performs a few tricks for onlookers and before disappearing into the night.
I know a couple chicks that'll perform a few tricks for onlookers before disappearing into the night, and all it costs is $5. You don't even have to go to Israel. You can just go to Chicago for that. But it's a different story. Yeah. I love that she's just doing tricks. I am one of the wonders of the world. But you can come down here and I'll jump around in the water for you for a little bit before I scamper out into there. Whoop, 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 and I'm out of here.
Yeah, like, so the article reads that you know, there's multiple sightings. But here, you know, the town's tourism board, delighted with the newfound fame from the, you know, mysterious creature, They said that the government has offered $1 million reward for the first person to photograph the creature.
So you can go down there, you can see her do tricks, but no one's getting photographs of this.
Yeah, our phones and iPhones and scarce in Israel? Yeah, I have no idea.
So. That's a big fat no. So, but, you know, maybe it's like, maybe she's like Sasquatch and all the photos are blurry. Maybe they're just out of focus naturally.
They're always blurry. Yeah.
Just she's frolicking. You'll never get a picture. I don't know, man. Do people describe her as your normal looking as far as mermaid? That's what they said. Like I know you said half person, half fish. It was like, I'm assuming the top half was person.
top half is a fish, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No. Reverse mermaid, or whatever you want to call it.
But that's what everybody's saying, like in this article, and even this town spokesman says he thinks the reward money will be well spent. And he quotes, "I believe there is really is a mermaid, then so many people will come to the town and they'll make even more money than just the $1 million in the reward."
Right, right. It's always, we've talked about this on here, these towns will get. You and I talked about this. I was a guest on your show too when we talked about the big money monster from Southern Illinois. You get these cryptids or these, you know, insert whatever, haunted house, horrible happenings, and towns will deny it, deny it, deny it until they see a few of those dollars come rolling in, and then all of a sudden, come to so and so, home of the so and so, you know, and they tend to embrace things once there's a want for it or a way to make that tourist money.
Oh yeah, definitely. Look at Point Pleasant. You know, that whole like Mothman festival they have every year. It sells out every hotel or little motel or Airbnb around the whole little area. So, you know, it's not only the town.
That's just for the people to be able to go there to see the sweet, sexy ass that's on that Mothman statue. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've seen the Mothman. Oh, it's got some cheeks, man.
I don't know who okayed that, but God bless them.
It's a thought, that horror over there, man. It's just a big old ass. You know, it's ready to go. Yeah, I don't know. Have you ever watched Inside Job, that cartoon?
Yeah.
You know, I love that every once in a while they go to, it's like AA or whatever, but it's like, "Hi, I'm Gerald Mothman. I am a Mothman." anyway. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm down for Jewish mermaids. You know, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be worth the trip. I mean, that kind of like that sums up everything. You can go over there, you can see all the Holy Land and everything, and then you can go spot a mermaid and possibly make $1 million off of it.
Yeah, yeah, and you got to see them on Shomer Shabbos or whatever it is, because you know they're lazy that day. They're not lazy; they just can't do anything. You know, so she can't handle money, she can't drive, she can't bowl, so they just got to stay there and let you take photos of them. Shomer Shabbos. That's my poor understanding of the Jewish faith and trying to key it in with the Big Lebowski. poorly, I tell you. All right, we're gonna go to break real quick. When we come back, we got two more weird stories for you right after this on Hysteria 51. All right. Well, this one comes to us from Mr. Aaron Babel, the New York Times, way back in the far-off date of June 12th of the year 2022. Crop circles were made by supernatural forces named Doug and Dave. intricate patterns carved in fields across England in the 1980s were a viral phenomenon long before the internet fed us such prankster curiosities daily. Couldn't almost didn't breathe there. Anyway, so this is actually looking back on these two guys that kind of were the ones who started the whole crop circle craze. Now, I'm going to give a little caveat here. This is probably going to make some people mad. Of course, there's some that didn't do, and I'm not saying that they started it all. They're just saying they did, at least in this area. They're the ones. So Connaught, England, I don't know how you want to say it. I'm sure it's wrong. Sitting hip high in a large wheat field in southern England, one can make out an odd series of depressions in the swaying green crop where some of the wheat has been pushed down lower than the rest. It's only by looking at the field from high above that the real picture is revealed. The whorls and sharp angles that have been pressed into the wheat from an intricate pattern include series of four circles orbiting a large circle, all within a bigger jagged edge disc that looks like a huge bicycle gear. Blah, blah, blah. And it goes on to say, anyway, these guys, Doug Bauer, then 67, when they're talking to him, and his friend Dave Chorley, 62, admitted to a reporter, Graham Bro, that in the late 70s, they began using planks of wood with ropes attached to each end to stamp circles and crops by holding ropes in their hand, pressing the planks underfoot. They had then watched with amusement as their anonymous antics eventually attracted media attention, began being copied by amateurs around the world. Amateurs, imitators. They're pro crop circle creators. Everyone else was an amateur. So this was in the 90s when they talked to them. And there's a couple photos in this. If you can go to the show notes, there's a couple of them in 91. They're showing how they're doing it. Their exploits are inspiration for The Perfect Golden Circle, a novel by British writer Benjamin Myers. It's set in 89. It follows two friends who roam in English summer nights, creating increasingly complex crop patterns. That's kind of what they did. If you read this, it goes on to say, you know, they started with circles and they realized it's not that hard just to figure out other shapes because you're just doing everything off of a rope. And they say that they verified claims by checking an archive. More than 200 crop circles designed and stored in the shed behind his home. They took photos so they could at least show that they did a lot of these. And the designs changed. They got better. And it's just an interesting look at least where this started. It goes on to, they talk about true believers, people who want to believe or to keep believing aliens and everything else, just ignored the evidence, no matter how obvious it was. This guy named Robert Reed said he had begun emulating the two pranksters' work in 1989 and befriended them when they went public. He talks about how, you know, it was obvious they were doing it and it's all fake. And, you know, people just wanted to believe it and didn't believe them when they came forward. Do you think that it does that tickle your fancy? Does that feel like it was them and the people ran with this, or it was something else and they were doing it, you know, separately, or what feels right to you?
Well, when I was a kid, I thought crop circles would have been a way more bigger deal as an adult. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those things because grew up kind of in the 90s, so it was crop circles were a big thing. But then you read this story and they had all these patterns and all these shapes to make them, and I get the ones that are, you know, localized to them, but then it goes on and it says like they had this whole like big like cabal of crop circle designers and makers around the world. I don't know if they were imitators or they were amateurs, obviously, but the designs that they show, like, I'd like to know how you can be so like symmetrical. I get the circles with the rope and everything like that, but the one that in the article,
like the one that has like the alien head and almost like a QR code.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. It's just too old, man. All right, Doug, keep going, Doug, about 14 more steps. They're British, so that's what they sound like. Keep going, Doug, about 14 more steps that way. Pip, pip, cheerio. And it works out. But, you know, that's many, many years later and other people are doing it. Now we have GPS and things like that. I don't know.
Yeah, they have no overhead either. Like, if you had a drone, you could see what you were doing. Mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm. Like, in the 90s, you have I don't know. I'm still at a loss on how you could be so symmetrical with some of the designs in a field. I don't know. I'm at a loss, I guess.
There's also some, though, when you look into this, there are some of the cases where they would look at how the crops were bent and like the knuckles on them. And if they use a plank, it bends it and breaks it, and others didn't. So there is, if someone was not, someone else humanly was doing it, they're using a different way than the plank method has came forward. Now, some of those claims have also been put to question. We've talked about this before on the show here. I'm sure you can look back in our back catalog. I'm straining trying to think of all of the thoughts. I guess I should have done that beforehand of what they said it really was. But it's a this is another one where you're going to get into arguments on either side of it, you know. And you could also catch someone doing it. And if you really want to believe, you just be like, bullshit, or vice versa. You know, you could probably see an alien do it and be like, nah, I don't believe. Because that's the way the world works. I've never seen one. Have you ever seen a crop circle?
No, I haven't. I mean, where I live, it's real mountainous. There's not big, like, spans of fields or anything like that. But no, I'm
son of a bitch. Oh, man, I'm just, like, flat. You can go 30 miles away, but I'll probably see you if the corn's out. But corn's a little bit different of a crop. They're not really doing it here. But yeah, no, I'm it would be an interesting thing to see.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to be able to, like, see one and, like, maybe take my own observation and critique it myself a little bit, you know, and see, like, how they
– right.
Like, you see the pictures of them, but the pictures do justice of, like, how large these things are and how, like, really symmetrical they are. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, Doug, you and Dave, hell of a job, gentlemen. You know, they did some of them, and that's pretty cool. Pretty cool that they just a couple old fucks back destroying food in the middle of the late 80s when we're in, like, a you know, a food crisis. Well done. Well done, gentlemen. Hell of a thought there. So anyway.
Oh, no, not the corn.
So what's your last one? What's your second story?
So I have the story. It's hot off the presses here from the 13th of December.
Hot. That is a recent one. Wow. Yeah.
So the 13th of December here, Mars rover captures first sound of Dust Devil on Mars.
It went blah, 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 Mars. That's the official sound, right? Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. You play it back a little, you slow it down a little bit. It's right on key.
Yeah. If you play it backwards, it goes, Paul is dead. Paul is dead. Sorry. I digress.
So, what's a dust devil sound like on Mars? The Mars rover, by chance, had its microphone on when whirling tower of red dust passes directly overhead, recording the racket. It is about a 10 seconds of rumbling gust of 25 miles per hour, or 40 kilometers per hour if you're metric, but pinging hundreds of dust pinging hundreds of dust particles off the rover Perseverance. So they said this... first of a kind audio on Tuesday. It's strikingly similar to dust devils on Earth, although quieter since Mars' thin atmosphere makes for some muted sounds and less forceful winds, according to researchers.
Now, they have the link for it there in the article, correct?
Yeah.
I'll throw that in the show right here for everyone so you can hear it. Hopefully, don't sue me, NASA. Those are one of those things that they're lucky. They were real worried about the dust devils at first, and then they realized that they clean off all of the panels for solar charging. So they're a good thing that they were worried about, and then they realized that it's like a built-in cleaning apparatus on Mars.
Yeah, I don't know. When I was reading through this article, I said, I don't know if I'm just out of school or out of touch or what, but I was like, I thought you had to have like an atmosphere to be able to create like wind. Like,
well, it does have an atmosphere. It has an atmosphere.
Okay. See, that's where my kind of disconnect was whenever I started reading through this. I'm like, wait,
they just don't have an atmosphere capable of, it's just not as thick as ours, but you know, even there's, you know, there is an atmosphere. It's just not Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was kind of like when I was reading through it. I was like, maybe I'm just, I don't know. But it's really interesting that they actually can get sound and all these pictures from the rover on Mars and be able to send them back to us and critique. I'm sure everything that we see is like critiqued to a point.
Yeah. I watched this thing of how they drive those rovers. So they'll go and they'll tell, all right, they have what they call drivers, but it's not like someone sitting there with a virtual headset on, like actively driving. They'll pick out where they want to go that day and it does the steps, but it also has a built-in override function where if something happens, it can stop or back up or, you know, sometimes it'll see its own shadow and think, oh, there's a cliff there and it stops. And they got to like look and be like, no, that's your own shadow, override, go forward, stuff like that.
So it's all like turn-based, turn-based right, games. Right.
It's like Alexander pulls out his magic map. No, it's it's like that, and then it's also everything's delayed, so not like a they don't go turn left. You know, I don't know if it's like 10 minutes or something like that, or less. But either way, there's a long delay between sending info, getting info back, and then. Plus, you got the computer trying to download it or upload it and link to it and things like that. So it's got to be an incredibly frustrating process, I would think, at least to get used to.
Clock in the morning, walk over the desk. All right, 15 degrees left. Yeah. All right, see you guys tomorrow. Right?
Well, when they first were shown, I watched this preview for one of the documentaries, and they were showing like these people, and they actually had like got glasses on and the drivers and stuff. Well, they were just overlooking data and stuff. It wasn't not nearly – they weren't like sitting there like piloting it like drone pilots. I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. they're not driving a mech suit on Mars.
Yeah. You know, well, that's what we all hope for, right? Is one day we can just VR – own rovers or mech suits or something like that. That's
exactly. Or send conspiracy bot there. He'll be fine. He'll enjoy it. He'll be with his own people. Because as far as we know, it's completely just robots living there. That's all there is, right? So
yeah, there's a couple there now, right? Yeah,
two, it's a three, robot graveyard. Like so he'll fit right in. That's really cool to hear it, but it's also like. Kind of what I expected kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like and on Mars, it's like, sounds like a screaming infant because of the lack of oxygen or the abundance of iron or something like that. And so it's cool, but then it kind of loses its cool factor a little bit quick.
Yeah. If it came back and was like, woo.
How fucking sad is that? We have a robot on another planet. Taking sounds and send it to me, and I'm like, lame.
Next. Just shitting on it, like, yeah, you know.
You guys played Fortnite? I'm so out of touch. I have no idea what kids do now. Did you play Fortnite? Did you smoke crack cocaine? I don't know what kids do these days. Anyway. So that's been our weird news. A couple different stories this week. If anyone wants to find Project Skeptic or just, you know, stalk you, stare at photos longingly, where can they go to do such things other than the stuff we're going to have in the show notes?
Yeah, that's just the normal where you can find the podcast. So we're on all of them. But projectskeptic.com, that's where we have all the links to all the shows. You can come out over to our Facebook page. We got a Facebook page over there and Project Skeptic. And there's some stuff over there. People post memes. And it's a good time over there. But that's where you can find us. I mean, we have some other social media that we're on occasionally, but that's the main ones.
Sweet. And you can go listen to me. I was on there for the Big Money Monster, which is a Sasquatch episode. I was on another episode, wasn't I?
No, that was June. Yeah, you were on in June. That was
that was it.
And I was on last January on the show for the Blue Beam episode.
That's what it was. You're right. So there you go. Well, thank you so much for jumping on here. And if you guys want to jump on things, you can always jump on Hysteria 51, find links to everything. Leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Or again, on that, hysteria51.com. Click on the microphone and leave us a voicemail. And we do have a contest going on. Send us weird@hysteria51.com, weird@hysteria51.com. Your topic suggestions. We're going to take three of them this time. Really two, but I want to give out three prize packs. So the number one, you get to host your own show with us. We're going to have you on, get a fries pack. That's, I'm fat, so it's a fries pack, a prize pack. You get to host your own show with us. And if you're in the Chicagoland area and want to get yourself to the Chicagoland area, you can even be in studio. We'll do it with you. But otherwise, Zoom is fine. Second place is we're going to do a bonus episode. David and I will do that, and then we'll give you prize pack. And third place, you get prize pack. Better than a stick in the eye, right? You know, and we'll also maybe take your suggestion, throw in the back pocket for a future episode for us to do. So lots of fun, and that's going to run through January. So we'll announce the winner in February, or winners in February. Weird at hysteria51.com. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Jay.
And there's been no conspiracy about
it. It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.